Speak to us, our gracious God, your living word, and help us to listen, and not just to listen, but to live out the word we preach and we hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember a teacher who impacted your life in a positive way? Do you remember? Maybe you need to think. If I had all the time, I would have loved you to share that story. Maybe there will be another time to share the story. In his book, The Shape of Living, Spiritual Directions for Everyday Living, David Ford mentions that each of us have people who are most important to us. They are the people who, for better and sometimes too for worse, have shaped and are shaping what we are and are becoming. Parents and grandparents feature largely among them. So also do teachers. We can all remember someone who influenced us so deeply and for good. For as the old teacher training agency slogan puts it, nobody forgets a good teacher. When I think of teachers, I don't think of people who are particularly powerful, at least not by the world standards. I think of Mrs. Ebola, and here, Favor will remember this teacher. She taught me when I was in P2 and P3. And what happened was that many years ago, just at the start of my ministry, I preached in a service where she attended. I didn't realize she was there until towards the end of the service. So at the end of the service, she walked up to me, smiled at me, gave me a hug, and then said to me that as I was preaching, she was looking at my report card. But she also said she was proud of me. Again, I also think of Ms. Omaka, who taught me in P4. They made learning fun. I think of my government teacher and boarding master, dormitory master at high school. I also think about my professor, Professor Afe Adogame, who taught me and supervised my master's dissertation and PhD thesis. Professor Adogame encouraged me for the first time to travel and present a paper at Western Michigan University, Kalamazoo in USA. He has been very much a part of my life. I think of teachers like this, and I'm amazed at the impact they've had on my life and the lives of so many other students. In fact, teachers will never know the extent to which they have impacted their students. Today, we are considering this fascinating passage from Mark, which you can follow on page number 1002 in the Pew Bible. It's a story that is set in Capernaum, the hometown of Peter. There, Jesus has gone into the synagogue and was teaching. In verse 22, we read, "The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the teachers of law." Now, this is a curious statement for Mark to make, because for years, the teachers of law were seen as the spiritual leaders in that community and were revered for their knowledge. They were highly respected. But this man from Nazareth taught differently. He spoke as if he intimately knew the Lord God Almighty. He spoke like one of the prophets that is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 18, as Richard read to us. He spoke like one who had been given the very spirit of the living God. What Jesus said made sense and touched the very hearts and lives of those who listened to him. And so when we open our lives and our hearts to God, to the Word of God, the written word, the spoken word of God, we'll be amazed at how real the Bible becomes in our lives. We'll be astonished at how real, how efficacious the Word of God is when we open our hearts to God. As Jesus was teaching, a man in the synagogue screams out, "Jesus, I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus says, "Be quiet and come out of him." So the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shout. Then he becomes calm and sits in the congregation. It is easy to be caught up in theological and academic debates about God, whether he created the world in 6 days or through evolution, whether Jesus was fully God or just a good man. Of course, there's a time and place for all these questions and discussions. But the ultimate question we need to face is whether or not we are prepared to sit under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and give him our lives as disciples. The life of Christianity consists of possessive pronouns, says Martin Luther, the great reformer of the 16th century. It is one thing, he says, it is one thing to say Christ is a savior. It is quite another thing to say he is my savior and my Lord. Two things. Christ is a savior, yes, anybody can say that. But he is saying, look, it is possessive here. It is another thing to say he is my savior and my Lord. And I think we need to move beyond the recognition of Jesus as a savior. We need to move beyond that to a place where we can say, yes, Jesus is my savior, is my Lord. And it is really important in our Christian journey to get to that point where we are able to say that. Now, instead of asking why there was an unclean spirit in this synagogue, instead of bowing our head and wondering why on earth did the unclean spirit come into the synagogue, why did this man not stay out? Why did he come to disrupt the flow of the sermon? Perhaps we should rejoice in the reality that Jesus came to rescue us, to redeem us, and restore us into God's image. And that was exactly what Jesus did in the life of that man. He didn't chase him away. He didn't undermine him. He didn't make him feel little of himself. But Jesus addressed what the problem was. The man with an unclean spirit undoubtedly was in one of God's sacred places on the Sabbath. What we may not fully understand is the extent to which people, maybe even ourselves, who come to an average Sunday morning worship may be burdened by pressures of life or struggling to let go of anger, of depression, forgiveness, fear, materialism, lust, greed, addictions. And so we may not cast stone on this man. This does mean that we all need Jesus and the freedom and healing that Jesus can bring. We are all in need of Christ's healing. And so it is not a time to cast stone or to point fingers. As human beings, we are broken. We are broken. And even in our brokenness, Jesus does not let us off. He does not give up on us in our brokenness. Brokenness by problems, issues of life, brokenness by family pressures, broken by political health pressures, broken by sin. But we are not so broken that the Holy Spirit cannot cleanse us. No matter the extent of our brokenness, no matter the extent that our lives are far apart, We can never be broken to a point that the Holy Spirit cannot cleanse us, mend us, purify us, and lead us on the path of healing and restoration. I saw myself leading into the morning singing this song, "There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Will you be free from your burden of sins? There's powerful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." We are reminded that there is hope and healing for everyone. It doesn't matter the mess. It doesn't matter the extent. There is healing. There is hope. There is no hopelessness where our God is. Perhaps we need to think about the areas in our lives where we need healing. Perhaps we need to come clean about our brokenness. Perhaps we need to open ourselves up to God as we sit under His word this morning and ask Him to heal. Mark concludes this passage by saying, "At once, His fame began to spread throughout the surrounding regions of Galilee. The good news of Jesus began to spread because of word and deed. Our intellectual knowledge about God is not just enough. We need personal encounter, personal relationship with Him. We need to submit to Him as Lord. He should be my Savior, my Lord, and not our Savior, and not just our Lord. In this passage, we are reminded that the fame, the love, the light of Jesus will spread as we engage in both word and deed, where our word is matched with action, which is often said, walking the talk. The light of Christ has come into the world. We celebrated it in December. So let us allow the light to shine through us, not only within this extraordinary building, which we have inherited from our forefathers and mothers, but let this light shine at our dining tables, in our classrooms, our workplaces, and out on the streets of Kaluk and its district. Let the light shine. Before we take our next hymn, I'll just give you a few moments. And when we sing our next hymn, I'll invite you to sit. As we sing the next hymn, we cannot measure how you heal. Let us just think about areas in our lives where we need God's healing this morning. Let us come clean to God and say to Him, "Look, I can't help myself. I can't possibly help myself." He loves us unconditionally. He wants to shine through us to the town in which we live and beyond. He wants to be the Lord of my life, the Lord of your life, so that we can bear true witness of His amazing love to the world.